Wednesday. I have had a variegated time. I escaped that night and rode a horse all night as fast as he could go, hoping to get clear out of the park and hide in some other country before the trouble should begin, but it was not to be. About an hour after sunup, as I was riding through a flowery plain, where thousands of animals were grazing, slumbering, or playing with each other, according to their wont, all of a sudden they broke into a tempest of frightful noises, and in one moment the plain was a frantic commotion, and every beast was destroying its neighbor. I knew what it meant. Eve had eaten that fruit, and death was come into the world. The tigers ate my horse, paying no attention when I ordered them to desist, and they would have eaten me if I had stayed, which I didn't, but went away in much haste. I found this place, outside the park, and was fairly comfortable for a few days, but she has found me out. Found me out and has named the place Tonawanda. Says it looks like that. In fact, I was not sorry she came, for there are but meager pickings here, and she brought some of those apples. I was obliged to eat them, I was so hungry. It was against my principles, but I find that principles have no real force except where one is well fed. She came curtained in bows and bunches of leaves, and when I asked her what she meant by such nonsense, she snatched them away and threw them down. She tittered and blushed. I've never seen a person titter and blush before, and to me it seemed unbecoming and idiotic. She said I would soon know how it was myself. This is correct. Hungry as I was, I'd laid down the apple half-eaten, certainly the best one I ever saw, considering the lateness of the season, and arrayed myself in the discarded boughs and branches, and then spoke to her with some severity and ordered her to go and get some more and not make such a spectacle of herself. She did it, and after this we crept down to where the wild beast battle had been and collected some skins. And I made her patch together a couple of suits, proper for public occasions. They are uncomfortable, it is true, but stylish, and that is the main point about clothes. I find she is a good deal of a companion. I see I should be lonesome and depressed without her, now that I have lost my property. Another thing, she says it is ordered that we work for our living hereafter. She will be useful. I will superintend. 10 days later. She accuses me of being the cause of our disaster. She says, with apparent sincerity and truth, that the serpent assured her that the forbidden fruit was not apples, it was chestnuts. I said, I was innocent then, for I had not eaten any chestnuts. She said the serpent informed her that chestnut was a figurative term, meaning an aged and moldy joke. I turned pale at that, for I have made many jokes to pass the weary time. And some of them could have been of that sort, though I'd honestly suppose that they were new when I made them. She asked me if I'd made one just at the time of the catastrophe. I was obliged to admit that I had made one to myself, though not allowed. It was this. I was thinking about the falls, and I said to myself, how wonderful it is to see that vast body of water tumble down there. Then, in an instant, a bright thought flashed into my head, and I let it fly, saying, it would be a deal more wonderful to see it tumble up there. And I was just about to kill myself with laughing at it when all nature broke loose in war and death, and I had to flee for my life. There, she said with triumph, that is just it. The serpent mentioned that very jest and called it the first chestnut, and said it was coeval with the creation. Alas, I am indeed to blame. Would that I were not witty. Oh, would that I had never had that radiant thought. Next year. We have named it Cain. She caught it while I was up country trapping on the north shore of the Erie. Caught it in the timber a couple of miles from our dugout. Or it might have been four, she isn't certain which. It resembles us in some ways, and maybe a relation. That is what she thinks, but this is an error in my judgment. The difference in size warrants the conclusion that it is a different and new kind of animal. A fish, perhaps. Though when I put it in the water to see, it sank, and she plunged in and snatched it out before there was opportunity for the experiment to determine the matter. I still think it is a fish, but she is indifferent about what it is and will not let me have it to try. I do not understand this. The coming of this creature seems to have changed her whole nature and made her unreasonable about experiments. She thinks more of it than she does any of the other animals, but is not able to explain why. Her mind is disordered. Everything shows it. Sometimes she carries the fish in her arms half the night when it complains and wants to get to the water. At such times, the water comes out of the places in her face that she looks out of, and she pats the fish on the back and makes soft sounds with her mouth to soothe it. It betrays sorrow and solicitude in 100 ways. I've never seen her do like this with any other fish, and it troubles me greatly. She used to carry the young tigers around so and play with them before we lost our property, but it was only play. She never took on about them like this when their dinner disagreed with them.